That backpack program at Pope continues to grow, and it's humbling to see the needs that are out there, and greatly appreciate those of you that are helping with stuff in those backpacks, and hopefully the number stops, because that means that families are getting their hands around their needs themselves, and that they're doing better. But definitely want to encourage you to help out however you feel led to do that. You can pack them, you can bring the food, whatever you want to do. And then also, let me give you one last shot for last week was Connection Sunday. We've been talking about spiritual growth, and we, over the few weeks, have hopefully you've realized that truth and God's word is very important in that. But truth alone is not enough. If you're in isolation, if you're by yourself and you're trying to understand God's truth, just you alone, it just doesn't work real well. You need community. I need community. We need relationship. And so we need both. We need truth to live by, but we need the encouragement, the challenge, the accountability of relationship. And so may I strongly encourage you to please, if you're not in a small group, to find one. And if one doesn't fit here for you, well, then maybe you can form one or just get in community. Please do that. And then, as Jordan mentioned also, we have our Pure Desire, which you want to talk about an obstacle to spiritual growth. It's the struggle with sexual addiction. And it's prevalent. It is something that people now talk about because it's real and it's in our lives. And so we are trying to have an effect and an impact in that way. And that's what Pure Desire, and then Betrayal and Beyond as well for the ladies' side. So please give strong consideration to that. I'm done, okay? I'm going to pray. So will you join me, please? Father, thank you for this morning, and we thank you for the gift of this place, and I thank you for every person here and those that are tuned in. I pray, Lord, as we open up your word, that you would speak through me. I have nothing to say, Lord God, but you have everything to say, and you have spoken it through your prophets, through your apostles, so that we, as followers of Jesus, or those who are considering to follow Christ, can understand what that means, so that we can glorify you, we can honor you, and our lives, Father, can be fruitful and productive. And I pray your blessing of this time of teaching, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, when we moved here more than 20 years ago, it's crazy to say that. This is almost going to become the longest place that Nancy and I and our family has ever lived. It's gay. In Texas, we were there for 25 years. But I remember coming here, and we're a sports family. And so one of the first things I looked into was getting my kids into sports. And that's just something they were born into, whether they liked it or not. And thankfully, they liked it. And so as we got our kids into sports here, I found something very peculiar. And it was more with my younger daughter than my older one. My younger daughter, when we moved here, she was in second grade. And so in second and third grade, I found something that was rather disturbing to me in the sports scene here. And that was one day when my daughter came home and says, "Dad, we don't keep score." What? You don't? What do you mean you don't? It must be because you're practicing, right? No, they said we're not going to keep scoring games either. And I you know, that one kind of, you know, started me to wobble. I started to lose my balance a little bit on that. And then later on, when I found out at the end of the year that they gave participation trophies, I thought, what in the world is happening to sports? What in the world is happening to our world? I just didn't understand that. And someone had to explain to me why that was the case. And you know what? I understood their explanation, but I completely disagreed with the solution or their believing what the solution is to the problem. I understood the problem. The problem is, yes, I get it, and that is that when winning becomes everything, that we lose sight of some of the more important aspects that winning might push out of the way, shove out of the way. Things like being a good team member and learning what it means to be part of a team and good sportsmanship and those kinds of things. I get that. But why does it have to be either or? I just didn't understand that. And I was seething, in all honesty. And I remember many years ago at Emerald Ridge High School, when I was still processing this, I remember kind of expressing my frustration with that on a Sunday morning. And here I am. It just bounced back into my head again. And my thought is, I get and understand the problem, but I disagree with the solution, because life is about progress. Life is about Achievement life is about results. I hopefully I'm going to make a biblical argument for that here. Because spiritual growth is the same way. There are no participation trophies for spiritual growth. It is about results, and we're going to see that here in a moment, because life is about results. When you think about it, students graduate because they got good grades. Professional athletes, the Super Bowl trophy is going to be awarded to the team that gets the most points. When you go look for a job, or I go look for a job, not planning to do that, but if you go look for a job, you're going to submit your resume, and this is your collection of results. And they're going to evaluate your results in light of their needs, and they're going to hire the most qualified person. It doesn't matter whether you've participated in things. It's how well have you done? What are your results? And results are important. We need to kind of know, where are we? How are we doing? I mean, students need to know, am I doing well enough to go to the next level, if that's my goal? We, in our vocation, we want to know, how well am I doing in my vocation so that I can progress to places I want to be? We cannot get away from the fact that life is about results. And the same is true for spiritual growth. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And I'm going to be asking you a lot of questions. Today, a lot of questions, and they're rhetorical questions. They're questions for you to think about, because this is the last of the three messages that I've done on growing. If you recall, before I did the growing message series, the very first Sunday of the new year, knowing that we were thinking about the new year and turning the page and what can we do to improve in 2022, and I started with this idea of training. And I read to you from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to read it again to you. Paul, who's in Corinth, which is kind of an athletic town, if I can say it that way. And Paul draws this analogy with the athletes and the training that they were doing in preparation for the competition of the games. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul says this: "Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize?" And then Paul says, run in such a way to win the prize. In other words, he says, run in such a way to get the result that you want. "Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. However, they do it to receive a crown result that will fade away. But we, a crown result that will never fade away. Therefore, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air." He goes, "Instead, I discipline my body." Think training. "I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." And that's, we started the first Sunday of 2022 with this idea about training. Are we looking at our spiritual growth purposefully and with a plan and with a goal? And are we following the plan to get to the goal? And then that was my foundation. And then we started the growing series. And in the first week, my attempt was to motivate you and motivate me to want to grow. We looked at the promises and the benefits of God's word. We also looked at the challenges, and that's when I got to show you those very disturbing pictures of my head superimposed on little babies, right? Because that was where the writer of Hebrews was saying to the people of God, "You're being a baby. Quit being a baby. Grow up," is what the writer of Hebrews said, right? And so we talked about the motivation, hoping that we would be motivated to grow. And then last week, we talked about, how do we grow? What do we need to grow? And so we went into great detail on that. Well, this morning, now the question is, am I growing? Because what I've experienced and what I've seen in my own life, and I've seen in the lives of others, if we don't know how we're doing, that's demotivating. And I think it's because we're created as created in the image of God. There is a desire for a result. There is a purpose. There is a plan in place. And how are we doing with the plan and the purpose? And so if we don't know, then we kind of just sit in that ambiguity. We're just not certain. So I want you to know today, what does spiritual growth look like? And certainly I cannot, in the time that I have, express every way that the scripture expresses what spiritual growth looks like. I've prayed and I've sought and I've chosen the ones I'm going to share with you. But I'm going to ask you a lot of questions, because today is an evaluation day. Today is for you to assess, am I growing or not? And where might I be short, or where might I be doing really well so that I can plan more effectively for 2022 to grow? And to do that, I'm going to ask you to, we're going to start with where this verse has been the thread that runs throughout every message. If you'll open your Bible up to your table of contents or get your Bible app open, we're going to go to the fourth book of the New Testament, and that is the book of John. And I want you to turn to John chapter 15. We have read this verse into oblivion, and we're going to continue to read it because there's so much in this verse. In John chapter 15, verse 5, before I give you the signs of spiritual growth, so that's my plan, is that you're going to leave here with some signs of spiritual growth that you can assess how you're doing. I first want to briefly make a case for the fact that spiritual growth truly is results-oriented and not merely participation. Although participation is important because you cannot get results if you do not participate. But that being said, John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him." Remember, he's talking about spiritual growth is about connection. It is about relationship with Christ. That is first and foremost, and it's drawing closer to him. And he says, the one who draws, who remains in me and I in him, produces much fruit. My friends, that is results. Produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. So spiritual growth is ultimately about results. It is not about participation, although, as I mentioned, participation is a part of that. Listen to what Paul said to people just like you and me in Philippi. He says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So Paul is talking about results, but he's talking about growing results. In other words, he's saying no one has arrived. No one has gotten to a point where they can kind of say, "All right, I've done almost everything I can do. I'm at a place that God probably says, well done," right? Well, let me just match my almost 40 years of following Jesus, my 120 hours in a classroom to get my Master's of Divinity, and I've been on a church staff for almost 30 years. And my friends, I've got a long way to go. There was a lot of growing in front of me. And I suspect the same for you. What we have to understand is that spiritual growth is about results. We can't just merely participate. It doesn't matter how many times you've been to church or how many hours you served or how much money you've given to the church. The question is, are you growing? Because you can do all of those things for the wrong reasons and spiritual growth will not happen. No one has arrived. We are constant works in progress. Paul is saying that God is working in us. It is not a safe place to think and be content, my friends. That's not a safe place. God will not let you stay there. And he has his ways of moving us on. But that's nice and fine. Okay, Kevin, I get it. It's about results. I get it. Well, how important are these results really to God? Well, let me read to you in John chapter 15. We read verse 5. Look at the very next verse that Jesus says in support of what he's just said in verse 5. He says, "If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned." And then in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus continues with this analogy where he's talking about fruit and the production of fruit by way of a vine and branches. And in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, listen to what he says. He's referring to the false prophets. These are people who are teaching a false gospel. What Jesus was teaching, they were teaching something that was contrary to that, and his disciples were going, "How do we know the difference?" And Jesus responds in chapter 7, verse 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces results, my friend. Every good tree produces good fruit. But a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not produce good fruit results, my friend. Every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. My friends, growing matters. Growing results matter. I just read to you that Christ was saying to those that don't grow, to those where there are no results, they're cut down, they're thrown away into the fire. I mean, that's a warning to all of us that we cannot simply think that our relationship with God is merely ascending mentally to some intellectual propositions. It is about results. And that's a warning that if we understand it any other way, well, we're risking, I think, things that we don't want to be risking. Now, a couple things I need to say about that. First is that God is the one who ultimately judges our results, right? We don't take the seat of God and judge the results of other people. Well, first off, we do not judge the results of people who are not followers of Christ. We cannot expect people who do not know Jesus to live like they know him. So we really just need to shut up about that. Now, Paul says, who am I to judge those who are outside the church? He goes, I judge those who are inside the church. I judge my brothers and sisters. And by judging, what he means is, well, what he doesn't mean, and the judging that Jesus condemns is not when you say a hard word humbly out of love for concern for another brother. That's not what Christ means. What he means is when you speak as if you're better than they are. When you speak as if you're all-knowing of their situation and you can condemn them. When you speak in a way that makes them feel bad so you feel good. That's what Jesus condemns. That's the judging we're not to do. But my friends, it's an act of love to see in another brother or sister, follower of Christ, who's stumbling and struggling, to humbly come to them out of concern for them and speak a word into their lives. That love demands. Now, let me also say that it's incumbent upon you, it's incumbent upon me, it's very important that we discern the lives of people that we're considering marrying, dating, going into business with, seeking counsel from. If we do not see the results, the spiritual results and the fruit in their lives, then be very careful who you marry and who you date and who you seek counsel from. Because there are no participation trophies in spiritual growth. And I'm about to show you the signs of them so you can kind of assess it, but let's just understand that spiritual growth is ultimately about results. And there are no participation trophies to speak of. Now, there is, if I can say it this way, there's a faith trophy. And by faith trophy, I mean when you put your faith in the one who has the result of all results, and that is Christ. Christ went to the cross. Well, Christ lived a perfect life with the result in mind. And Christ went to the cross and absorbed the judgment of God on our behalf with a result in mind. And God raised Jesus from the dead 3 days later to acknowledge that this is the guy. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the one you want to hitch your wagon to. This is the one you want to put your faith and trust in. This is the one you want to release and surrender control of your life to with a result in mind. And the result was your forgiveness and my forgiveness so that we could be in a loving relationship with God and we could live eternally with him. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we get a faith trophy. And that is we get credit for Jesus' life forever and always is how God interacts with us. So in that sense, there's a trophy, but it is a faith trophy. Now, I want to balance something real quick. Some of you are thinking, okay, Kevin, you've said that spiritual growth is about results. It is about results. Well, what about the thief on the cross? You know, he probably didn't really have any spiritual growth results. You're right, you got me there. Wish I'd thought about that. We do know that the thief on the cross, in his moments, last moments of life, he recognized Jesus was Savior. And he confessed that much and acknowledged that much. And Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. So he didn't have any results to go on. Why? Because results do not save you. The results that I'm talking about today, they give evidence of the fact that you have put your faith and trust in the result of all results, which is Jesus. And if you as Christ followers, if I as a Christ follower am given life to live, which the thief was not, then what's going to come out of our lives, if we truly have put our faith and trust in Christ, is going to be results, my friends. It is unavoidable. And so you're right, the thief didn't have time, but I hope and pray you do. And I hope and pray I do. And if we do, then our lives need to show results, need to bear out the things that we're going to talk about right now. Again, there's more than I can share with you this morning, but let me now give you the signs of spiritual growth that you need to look for in your life, and that they're growing, that these results are growing in your life. And the first one, I'm going to take you to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Again, we've been here before. This is Paul describing, I used this back when I was trying to motivate you. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is Paul describing what spiritual growth looks like as the fruit manifests itself in your life. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. He's describing these Jesus-like attributes and characteristics that come out of the life of a person who's put their faith and trust in Christ. And I don't know which one on there on that list really strikes at you, but I want to call out. We're talking about Jesus-like character, okay? That's a sign. And as that Jesus-like character is growing in your life and in my life, I want to call out a few that he mentions there. The first one is I want to call out, he says, love. We'll start with the first one. He says, love. And what we need to understand about love here is it's not romantic love. It's not even brotherly love. It's not so much a feelings of love. It is acts of love. It is unconditional love. And when we're growing, there is inside of us a desire to act lovingly, not merely to our friends and our family, but the people we don't know. Let's go all the way to what Jesus said, right? Try to get your mind around this and tell me if you've arrived at this one. But Jesus says we're to love our enemies. Huh. That's just when you realize the supernatural aspect. There's many ways that we can realize the supernatural aspect of what it means to follow Jesus and why we need the Spirit of God inside of us. I mean, some of you in here right now would say, it's hard for me to love my kids on some days during the week. And I got to love those who hate me. I got to love those who desire ill towards me. You see, there's a lot of growing, right? There's a lot of growing that we all have to do. But Jesus talks about love. Let's go to the third one. He goes, love, joy. I'm going to go to peace, which is the third one before I get to joy. Peace. When he speaks of peace, and all I'm asking you to do is think about is, are these Jesus-like characteristics and attributes, are they present in your life? And how strongly so? But let's talk about peace. Peace is both a subjective good feeling inside of you, but it's also an objective reality of the status of your relationships, that maybe someone that you were once hostile towards or they towards you is no longer there. And so there's an objective peace. And as Christians, we have both. We have the objective peace of the hostility that once God had towards us has been satisfied because of what Christ has done. No matter what you do, our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And our sins were once what drew the hostility of God, the anger of God, the wrath of God, but it was satisfied and absorbed in Christ. And so now, because of the objective status of peace that we have, comes the subjective feeling, good feeling inside. I'm at peace with the one that matters more than anything else. And if I'm at peace with him, what can happen to me? What could possibly happen to me? And then we move to joy. And joy is connected because joy is the subjective feeling we have inside, not because of our circumstances. That's happiness. There's nothing wrong with happiness. But we need an anchor. We need something that holds us down when times are not wonderful. And that's joy. And joy is a subjective good feeling inside because we have come to understand how loved we are by God. We're overwhelmed with his unconditional love, his pursuit of us, his calling to us before we were even created, before we were even born. I mean, just try to get your mind around that. And the idea is that as we continue to remind ourselves of God's incredible love for us, that we're at peace. And we feel the peace, and peace and joy, there's certainly overlap. And we also read in that list, self-control. And self-control is this idea that we are able to, by the grace of God, to deny a temptation, to deny fulfilling a gratification or an impulse because we know there's a greater good out there. And maybe for you, maybe it's unhealthy anger. You know, man, I am prone to these fits of just outbursts. But as you're growing spiritually, as the Spirit of God's working inside of you, remember Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he's taking that anger and he's pulling it apart. He's disarming it so that you're not jumping right out of the gate. You're able to hold back. You're able to show self-control. Maybe it's overeating, overspending, whatever it might be. There's a sense that I have the ability to stop because of the greater good that's out there. And that's by the grace of God working inside of you. My question is that happening in your life? Do you see those character traits? Are they coming? Are they growing? Are they desirable? Okay. Secondly, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the writer of Hebrews says this, "Now without faith it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and rewards those who seek him." So the writer of Hebrews is talking about the importance of acting on our faith. Remember, Jesus said countless times to his disciples as they were trying to do the things that he wanted them to do, yet they would kind of fall back out of fear. He said, "Oh, you of little faith." The second sign of spiritual growth is the growing courageous faith that God wants for us. Does that speak to you? Do you have a courageous faith? Are you trusting God with your decision making? As you face decisions throughout the day, are you trusting God to biblically inform you through his word of what decision to make? Or are you relying, defaulting to culture or to politics? Or to what the street says, what your buddies say. Because we need to courageously stand up for our faith in what we believe. To hold on to our biblical conviction. I mean, are you challenged at times to have to say no to somebody? Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's your employer, maybe it's a situation. Just because you know if I say yes to that, it compromises and puts in jeopardy my relationship with God or my family's relationship, whatever it might be. Is there a strong biblical conviction for your faith, for the things of God? This is where we get the A in aiming, to know Jesus and make it known. This is where we activate our faith. Faith isn't merely what we believe, it's acting on it. It's being convicted and standing in our convictions for it. So, courageous faith. Next, in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said this. He says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross." Did I get the right? "If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever who seeks to save his life is going to lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And the character or the spiritual growth sign here is sacrifice. Is there actively ongoing in your life sacrificing for other people? Again, I'll say, are you sacrificing for friends and family? Wonderful. How about people you don't know? How about people that are in need? Do you look at people that are in need and do you think to yourself, you made your bed, now lie in it? And let's be honest, are there people who have made their beds and they're in terrible situations and they're reaping what they've sown? They're suffering under the consequences of poor decision making? Yes, there are plenty of them. And everybody in this room is a part of that crowd. Do we realize how broken and how far away from God we were? And the bed that we made, and we're wallowing around in it, and God comes to us and seeks out after us. I am so thankful God did not give me what I really deserve. Is that manifest in your life? Is that kind of concern and willingness to sacrifice your time, your money, your skills, your comfort, your personal freedoms is mine? Is what I've received in God through Christ, is it enough for me to sacrifice those things? Am I growing spiritually in that way? And that's the I in AIM. That's impacting our world. If we sacrifice and really give up for others, my friends, that is countercultural. That can change the world when we do it motivated because we want to honor God and put Christ out in front. Next is Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And this is Jesus' commission to the church. His command, his plan, his purpose, the result that he seeks through the church. And he says in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age." My question is, as we look at this, the spiritual sign that we're considering, are we discipling others? Are we passing our faith on to other people? Moms and dads, are you passing your faith on to your children? Or are you letting somebody else do that? We partner with you in that here. When your children are in Kids Zone or at Student Ministries, we're partnering with you. We're helping. We're kind of coming alongside. But the real teaching, the real impact is going to be in your home. As they watch you live out your faith, that's where it's really going to happen. Are you discipling your children? To those of you that are in a small group, when you come to a small group, are you prepared? Or do you come and I'll just wing it? Because what happens is, as a group, we miss out on what God shows you and teaches you. And you can help disciple us when you come prepared. When you go and you're in Kids Zone, you're teaching your kids, unless you think, it's just kids, I'll just kind of wing this. Really? You're passing on your faith to the children. When you're serving in student ministry, are you just kind of winging it? No, you're passing on your faith. You're passing on the faith. You're discipling others. That is a sign that you're growing when you're taking that seriously, when it really matters to you. That's the M and AIM of multiplying disciples. And then lastly, second to last, James chapter 1. This is the half-brother of Jesus. Like I said, I know I'm firing like a machine gun, a lot of verses at you, and I'm asking a lot of questions, but my hope is you're just sitting here, and I'm going to give you a minute to kind of pontificate and ponder what we're talking about. Listen to what James says in chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Doers, results. Hearers, participation. All right? "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and is not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face in a mirror, for he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does." He's saying the word of God, when you take the word of God and you don't merely listen to it, but when you dive into it and you study it and you reflect upon it and you apply it and live it out, my friends, that is, like I said last week, that is the greatest, most effective catalyst for spiritual growth, bar none. Is that happening? Are you obeying God's word? Are you reading and reflecting and then applying it and living it out? Or do you come to church, and I imagine there might be some of you that you come, and it might be sometimes that you come, and you're hurting. You're just, man, I need an encouraging word from God's word. I need to hear about his love. I need to hear about his grace and his mercy and his empowering presence in my life. That's what I need to hear. You do need to hear that, and I need to hear that. But do you listen for the places in your life where God says, "I want that, and you're not giving it to me"? You need to be aligned with me here, and you're not. Do you hear those? Do you listen for those? Do you desire them, even as hard as they are? Do you say, "I'm going to obey God. It doesn't matter the cost. That's what I'm going to do." My friends, that is a sign that you're growing spiritually. when you desire to obey God's word, because you know reality is that God's word is truth. And then if human flourishing really comes down to, do I trust the one who created me? Do I trust the one who's created everything I've seen and who has a plan and purpose for this life? Do I trust him? Do I obey what he says that I am to do so that I can experience the freedom and the flourishing that he meant and that Jesus came to give me? Because God's word frees us to do that. Lastly, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says this to his disciples right before he goes to be with God. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. I pulled this one out, and I hesitated to pull it out separately because I don't want anyone to ever think that there's discipleship and there's evangelism and they're separate. And I'm a disciple, and I really like the discipleship, and I like talking to people who are already followers of Jesus and helping them grow in their faith. That's me. I'm not this guy. I'm not this person over here who has spiritual conversations with people. I'm just not comfortable with that. We can't separate them because they're not separating the scripture. A disciple, a follower of Jesus, was commanded in Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples. How can you make disciples without having spiritual conversations with those who are yet to be disciples? You can't. Now, I know there are gifts, and some have the spiritual gift of evangelism, and certainly that's going to be an easier and more should be expected of them. In all honesty, I expect that of me because I enjoy that. I love that. And I think you should expect more of me than maybe you who feels like you're gifted in another way. But the same is true the other side. Maybe you have an incredible gift of mercy and compassion. My friends, I need help there with compassion, all right? I mean, I'm like, get off the ground and quit moaning. And so I'm going to expect more from you, but at the same time, you can't expect me to say, well, I'm just not going to show any compassion because I don't have a gift. No, just like you can't say, I'm not going to have any spiritual conversations at all because that's just not me. Spiritual growth is about having spiritual conversations with people who are away from God. It's investing in relationships of people that you just come across in your regular rhythms of life. We're all creatures of habit. We all have routines. We all pass by in a lot of ways the same people, whether it's at work or the coffee stand or at our kids' athletic events or our hobbies. We have people that we typically regularly pass by. My question is, are you being mindful? Are you investing and thinking about God? How can I start a spiritual conversation there? How can I do that? I try to think when I have that opportunity, and it's right. I mean, you have to be respectful, and you have to be discerning of the Spirit and sensitive to the situation, right? But I have a question that kind of gets me there. And I simply say, do you want to know how much God loves you? And if they say no, okay. Then I assume the Spirit of God is not at work. And I'm not gonna say, well, let me tell you anyways. I'm not going to do that. But I suspect if I say, do you want to know how much God loves you? And they say, well, tell me about that. That to me tells me the Spirit of God is working. And I'm moving forward with that. So there's the sensitivity. But spiritual growth is having spiritual conversations with people that are far away from God. And that's all I got time for now, right? But I want to kind of draw this big bow around this. And as do you see what these spiritual growth signs are? And as they're growing, as these results are growing, one, they're results. That's not mere participation. But they are you being shaped into the likeness and image of Jesus. When Paul says that the church is the body of Christ, do you understand that now? As we're being shaped into the image and likeness of Christ, and then when we are told, go therefore and make disciples, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus, his manifest presence is in you and in me, and as we go out, as we seek to grow spiritually, publicly reaching out to people, Christ is manifest, and the kingdom moves forward as we grow and bring others along with us. So Let me challenge you this week, and I'm going to give you some a few moments here just to think about what we've talked about. But what I'm going to ask you is, would you please rate the strength of each spiritual growth sign in your life? Just rate the strength of those spiritual growth signs that I gave you. Just ask yourself, is it basically nothing? I mean, it's like flatlined, or it's weak, or it's so-so, or it's doing pretty good. I hope no one says, yep, nailed it. I hope no one says, yeah, I'm all there. I don't think I need to do anything more there. But here's what I want you to do. So rate yourself, and then I want you to choose two to work on. I want you to choose one. This is kind of, I'm following the lines of Dave Ramsey in FPU. He says, if you want to get out of debt, surprisingly, he says, start with the smallest debt that you have. You're thinking, wait a minute, shouldn't I get rid of the big one? No. He's saying psychologically, mentally, as you see the debt falling away, it gives you momentum. And you're like, this is awesome. Let's keep doing this. So I wanted to choose the one that is the easiest for you, the lowest hanging piece of fruit, and just start working on that. And what do I mean by work on it? See last week's message. How do I grow spiritually? So go back to last week. But start working on it. And as you see progress happening rather quickly, there's going to be this momentum. And then pick the hardest one. And let that momentum just go crashing right into that hardest sign that I speak of, okay? And we'll do it for the glory of God. I'm going to pray and then just give you just a moment. Quietly, you've got your connect card there. If you need help or encouragement, then fill that card out. And then you can drop it off as you leave. But just let's take a moment quietly to kind of let God, we've just talked about sink in. Father, please take the words that I've spoken. And if they're from me, Lord, may they just drop to the ground. But God, those that your spirit has seared to the minds and hearts of those that are listening, I pray that you will have your way with them in this time and the time to come as they reflect on the truth that we've been told. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.